sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confide,
trusting, confide. Sheltering arm, his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm. No tempest may blow, and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith, in Jesus above,
trusting, confide,
trusting, confide, in His great love, yes, in His great love.
From all harm safe,
from all harm safe, sheltering arm, his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm.
I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter how dark is the day.
Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, with Jesus leading all the way?
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith, in Jesus above,
trusting, confide,
trusting, confiding in His great love, yes, in His great love. Sheltering arm, his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm,
feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day.
Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith, in Jesus above,
trusting, confide,
trusting, confiding in His great love, yes, in His great love. Sheltering arm, his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm, feel no alarm.
And I trust that we will be hearing from that group again. Praise the name of the Lord. Let us turn this morning to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. 1 Corinthians 2, let's begin with verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And I want to notice this morning, we're going to begin a new series, and that series would be The Mysteries of God. And there are, of course, a number of them, as we are going to see. It's going to take us weeks, perhaps even some months, in order to go through these different mysteries that God has given unto us. And the beauty of this, of course, is that God has chosen to reveal this message, these mysteries to us. As we see here, in that indeed these mysteries belong to God. You can, will not turn to this citation, but be sure and put it down for reference. It's Deuteronomy 29:29. It says this: the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And so the secret things, that is, the word secret means to hide by covering. And that is certain things indeed God has covered. As we read there, that I have not seen nor ear heard, but as we see once again here in verse 10, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So God has chosen to reveal His hidden secrets by His Spirit indeed unto ours. In this particular message this morning, I want to enlarge for a little while on the mystery of Paul's gospel. And that is found, the first part of that, if you will turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. We find out that God has chosen to reveal these things unto us. The first thing that we need to understand about such mysteries is that they are so valuable and we need to treat them as such. And this is where that God indeed is separating. We have noticed the parables over these last few weeks. We found out that Jesus spoke to them in parables, and as He gave the reason, it was to separate those who had a hearing ear from those who did not. Now that is still going on in all of these wonderful mysteries. We're not going to repeat those mysteries in the messages that we are bringing forth over these next few weeks and months. But the same principle applies. God is choosing. God indeed is singling out those who will hear. They have an ear to hear, and those who do not. We are reminded, of course, of what He said, and Jesus said there in the book of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." And so we must be among those who have that hearing ear if we are going to hear, if we're going to understand, be able to enlarge and delve into these wonderful mysteries that God has provided for us. And so as we turn here to the 16th chapter of Romans, I want to go through these statements in uncovering the mystery that Paul is talking about. Now keep in mind, we are speaking of this as the mystery of Paul's gospel, but there is a very important element in that mystery, as we're going to discover. Romans 16 and verse 25, we read this: "Now to him that is of power to establish you." We learn at the outset that These mysteries, indeed, one purpose of them, is simply to establish us, to make us sure and steadfast. This is what God wants in our lives. So to him that is a power to establish you, you will notice, it is according to my gospel. That is Paul's gospel. Some might think, well, Paul's a little conceited calling it my gospel. No, he simply tells us that God revealed it to him in a very personal way, and indeed it became a part of him. He claimed it. This is what God intended. And so now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel, then he names what that is and the preaching of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul's gospel is absolutely centered around the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's not his own way. It's not his own idea. It's not the ways of men, as we will see here in just a little while. It's not the ideas of men or the good intentions of men. Paul's gospel is centered on Jesus Christ himself. And so he says here that to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And then you will notice, according to the revelation of the mystery. This mystery concerning Christ, this is what he's talking about. And notice what he says about it. It is according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That means, as we read in another place there in the book of Revelation, Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It is amazing in reading through the scripture, if you just go to the very first chapter of Genesis, begin to read and things of these nature. You know, God created heaven and earth. God created Adam and Eve. But the thing that we must understand, God had the plan of redemption in place, not only before Adam fell, but before Adam was even created. You cannot catch God off guard. And so this is what he's talking about, is this was actually prepared. It was kept secret since the world began, because God counts it that the Lamb, Christ Jesus, was crucified, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God was already prepared before Adam even came into existence. Notice further in this same portion here in verse 26, but now is made manifest. In other words, this revelation, this mystery is now made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. It is an absolute fact that Jesus did many things when he came into this world. He preached the gospel. He healed the lame. Gave sight to the blind. There are just a multitude of things that Jesus did when he came into this world. But we must understand the primary reason Jesus came into this world is because he would be obedient to the will of God. That is, to the prophets. As we read here, it is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. His primary purpose in coming into this world was in fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Continuing here in verse 26, we read that this commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And that follows through exactly with the scripture, that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so men must have this message, these mysteries. The more of the mysteries, the more of the word of God that we have, the more that faith is going to be counted to our account, and indeed we are going to have it. So it's made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Again, I want to notice that the theme of Paul's gospel, this mystery of Paul's gospel, that theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is designed, Paul's message is designed to bring this specific glory to Christ Jesus. And so we find out that indeed God intends that everything should surround his Son, Christ Jesus, once again that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Want to go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and comment just a bit more on this same subject, this same line of thinking that Paul is bringing forth here. 1 Corinthians 2, and let's begin with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul set the example before them. Once again, he was not trying to establish his own following, as he was accused of doing, and things of this nature. But he says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. It did not surround him. It did not concentrate on him. Paul was interested in the testimony of God. Notice, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I say again, the testimony of God is Christ Jesus himself. This is what Paul was doing here, and he would not do it with fancy words and eloquent speeches and all of these various things. He was simply wanting to get across this message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says here in verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you except this message, Christ and him crucified. Once again, pointing back to that lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. Paul's message enlarges upon Christ himself. He is declaring Christ. There are many things that people can get, so to speak, or try to get out of Paul's gospel as to what it is saying. But Paul's message is to preach Christ and him crucified. That is the basis for everything that we have and everything that we are. And so I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It was absolutely imperative that Jesus come into the world and die for the sins of humanity. This was God's plan for him all along, and Paul's message testifies of that. He enlarges on it, as we have seen here. And so, as we continue on, you will notice that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul's own efforts must fall by the wayside, so to speak. He must not call attention to himself. And that, of course, is the same challenge and the same object for anyone who would give out the Word of God today. The message absolutely must center on the Lord Jesus Christ and not the desires, the opinions, and longings of certain preachers or individuals. Notice verse 5, the reason for all of this. The reason that he wouldn't call attention, the reason that he wouldn't use all of this eloquence and all of these things. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but notice, in the power of God. The only way to do that is to preach Christ and him crucified. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing. Verse 6 we read, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Again, that mystery is Christ himself, who he is, not just what he has come to do or the things that he would perform, but who he is. This is what we are to discover in our own lives and experience. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Notice again, even the hidden wisdom. God hid it for a purpose. It is valuable. And we go back to the beginning of this message. God has taken these hidden things, these deep things, and he has chosen to reveal them unto us, as the Apostle Paul said. So it's the hidden wisdom which God ordained once again before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. The princes of this world are the leaders of this world. They should have known. They should have understood, but they simply did not. They ignored all of that. And so none of the princes or the leaders of this world knew. Had they known it, had they really known what they had, what was available to them, what had been presented to them, Paul says it this way, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I want to notice that the chief apostle to the church, and God did anoint Paul as the chief apostle of the church. We have been criticized at times for emphasizing Paul's gospel. Oh, you think he's more important than Jesus? No, he preached Jesus. I have talked to some people, so I just don't read anywhere anything in the scripture except those things that are in red, signifying that Jesus spoke to them. But you see, Paul's gospel is centered. He enlarges on the message or the wisdom, the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the chief apostle of the church continues to emphasize this hidden wisdom, and that it is Christ himself. It is Jesus whom we must preach. It's imperative that men realize that such wisdom does not come in just one experience or manifestation of truth. It is a continual process, and so it must be in our lives. We're going to close this morning with the first chapter of John. If you'll turn to that portion, very familiar portion of Scripture, but dynamic verses also that I want to bring out here, because they are so important for us to understand, fully understand the mystery of Paul's gospel, which I continue to repeat. The mystery of Paul's gospel is simply the preaching of Christ and him crucified, pointing to all of the glorious benefits God has given to us because of this redemption that Jesus died for there on the cross of Calvary. John 1, let's go down to verse 14. And the Word. The first thing we learn here, the Word is, once again, Christ. Just exactly like Paul preached, the Word is Christ. And the Word was made flesh. God literally put that divine life into a frail human body. This is what God did. This is the way God works. Men don't understand the ways of God and the workings of God, but we must understand that his workings and his ways are always right. And so we read here, the Word was made flesh. And you will notice, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This is a record of John the Baptist. And he is giving a first-hand account of what he saw in Jesus. And what he saw is that we beheld his glory. And it was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus had told them many, many times, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They were one. And of course, they accused him of blasphemy for making such statements as that. But they were absolutely true as to what he said. So he dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And then he describes specifically what that glory was, full of grace and truth. The glory is in the grace and the truth represented by Jesus. I also want to emphasize here, Jesus is the fullness of both grace and truth. If we want grace and if we want truth, we must have Jesus himself. And that goes far, far beyond just the born-again experiences we'll see here in just a moment. Continuing here with verse 15, we read this. John bare witness of him, and he cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke." He did exactly what Paul was doing. He was preaching Christ. He was declaring Christ. He was declaring the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. "Further, he that cometh after me is before me." That is, many would try to glorify and to magnify John the Baptist. He would have none of it. And so he says, "He that cometh after me is before me." That indeed was Christ, because he is indeed eternal. He was before me. Verse 16, you can underline it. "Of his fullness have all we received." This is what you and I must understand in our daily walk with the Lord. It is only of his fullness. There is no way that we receive the fullness of Christ all in one experience with the Lord. No matter how wonderful and glorious it might be, it is only of his fullness. And then he adds, "and grace for grace." Verse 17 says, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The Jews gloried in the law. They trusted in the law. They depended on the law. But here John was telling them emphatically that Jesus supersedes the law in every area of life. I want to go from John's own experience here. He is talking about what he knows and what he has done and what he has experienced. And so in verse 16, he says, "Of his fullness have all we received." That is, himself included. John the Baptist knew that he did not, that he had not appropriated the fullness of Christ all at one time. We can point to the time he would see him and be associated with him, baptizing him there on the banks of the River Jordan. But it is John who indeed declared that it was only of his fullness that he had received. It is also, I want to notice here, it's got in verse 16, "of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." The better translation of that is grace upon grace. And when we get into that, there is just no end. It is inexhaustible. Grace on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace. And hopefully we are going to see some of that mystery as we go on into these messages on the mysteries of God in these next few weeks and months. But it is a matter of building one revelation or expression of Christ and his grace and his wisdom and his truth on top of another. Such revelations are actually, once again, inexhaustible. And so I want to, in closing, our lives today must be literally consumed, and I mean consumed, with an ear to hear these glorious mysteries, these hidden mysteries of Christ Jesus. God has been so gracious and so mighty in revealing them, in bringing them forth that they can be understood, giving us the power through his Spirit to understand them. It is up to us, how much we appreciate them, it is up to us whether we really do have an ear to hear. Shall we sing?